WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is Werner Herzog. He's made more than 50 films. His latest documentary is Grizzly Man. Well, Werner Herzog, you're making documentaries still, and many of them take you to remote places and involve people who are doing things at the limits of exertion, taking mortal risks. In your recent documentary, Wheel of Time, which chronicles hundreds of thousands of Buddhists who trek to observe the initiation of Buddhist months, if I've read this right, you actually journeyed into Tibetan mountains and did a lot of filming where you were the entire crew. You did all of the shooting, you did all of the sound while coping with altitude sickness at 19,000 feet above sea level. And I'm just wondering, didn't anybody ever tell you that a famous director should have a big crew and a trailer where you get cappuccino and brioche in the morning?
Not so around Mount Kailash.
Right.
When you circumambulate this mountain in this particular year with about 100,000 pilgrims, you climb up to sometimes 19,000 feet. And I actually was not didn't suffer from altitude sickness. My wife did, who is a very athletic person and younger than me. Anyway, and what was interesting is that I shot the footage myself as a cinematographer, because we didn't have any shooting permit in China, or Tibet, rather. But all the other film that was shot in Bodh Gaya, the place where the authentic Buddha had his enlightenment under a tree, that was shot together with 500,000 pilgrims by a real crew and a cinematographer. I'm not into dangerous or remote locations. For example, a jungle is just another forest. So what?
All right.
There's nothing special about it.
You do push yourself hard, though. In the documentary.
I'm not into self exploration and trying to push myself and finding my boundaries. That's all baloney. I'm not into that.
You're into making a good film and
telling
a story.
I'm not in experiencing myself. I'm a storyteller, sure, and I'm a filmmaker and I'm a poet to some degree, and that's as simple as that. And if there are difficulties en route, I just take it as they come, and I will tackle it so in a soldierly manner.
Right.
I try to be a good soldier of cinema. That's it.
Well, you certainly have taken on some difficult projects, and in Burden of Dreams, the documentary about the 3-year saga to make Fitzcarraldo in the Amazonian jungle, there's a point where you say you should probably give this project up, but if you did, you would be a man without dreams, and you don't want to live like that. You were 37 when you said that. I guess you're, what, 62 now? Are you still someone who has to dream to live?
I do not know. I wouldn't be myself. And the strange thing is I do not dream at night. I have no dreams. And I wake up in the morning, and I feel this void. I have not dreamt again. So maybe that's one of the reasons why I do movies.
Well, Werner Herzog, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Filmmaker Werner Herzog. His new documentary is called Grizzly Man. Pianist Vijay Iyer is a rising jazz star, groomed by gigs with Steve Coleman, Roscoe Mitchell, and Wadada Leo Smith. But Iyer may be better known for his own projects. One of those is a cooperative trio called Fieldwork, whose members believe in rehearsing a lot to foster a free flow of ideas and create a real band aesthetic. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead says all that practice pays off.
Fieldwork is a jazz power trio for the new century, one that packs the wallop of a rock band, at least sometimes. A little like their contemporaries, the Bad Plus or Jason Moran's Bandwagon. Fieldwork may get stuck on repeated licks, like a glam band hammering home a tune's hook. But one saving grace is, they don't dumb down the solos. Jay Iyer on piano. He could come up for air once in a while, but you can hear why jazz folk like him more and more. A percussive pianist who doesn't punish the instrument, he'll spin long, intricate lines without tripping over his own fingers, and he has a sure feel for knocking out complex rhythms. Those stem, at least partly, from his study of the Carnatic music of South India, where his parents are from. And those shifting beats also recall the Indian-influenced jazz-rock fusion of the 1970s. Iyer was raised in Rochester, New York, where he grew up all-American multicultural, eating Indian snacks, digging Star Wars, and practicing Rachmaninoff on violin. The young fiddler switched to piano after discovering how much fun it was to make its low notes sing out, a childhood enthusiasm that stayed with him. I like how piano and drums lock into contrasting beats there. Vijay Iyer's trio mates, as heard on Fieldwork's CD Simulated Progress from the Pi label, are saxophonist Steve Lehman, who's new to the band, and drummer Elliot Humberto Cavi, who's since moved on. Those personnel changes reflect how hard it is to get busy New Yorkers to clear lots of rehearsal time. Still, Fieldwork achieves a hard-edged unity of purpose, with everyone pulling together, like I say, more like a rock than a jazz band. The trio has no bass player, and everyone works hard to compensate. On Lehman's tune Trips, drums evoke a scratchy rhythm guitar, the saxophone plays the sort of repeating line a bassist might play, and the whole band traces a hiccuping rhythm pattern. Fieldwork thrives on off-center grooves like that. Elliot Cavi is typical of younger jazz drummers who've absorbed hip-hop beats into the vocabulary without sounding mechanical. Saxophonist Steve Lehman has a slippery rhythm sense of his own, gliding between the beats or leaping over them. It's a good band, but I have one suggestion for those rehearsal sessions. Work on your endings. Pieces that start strong may peter out by the end. But when a band can make tricky technical stuff sound like musical populism, that criticism sounds like nitpicking.
Kevin Whitehead teaches English and American Studies at the University of Kansas, and he's a jazz columnist for eMusic.com.